Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Maseches Nida Daf Yud Gimel. We begin at the Mishnah, the Nuperek, Kol Hayad. Any hand, Hamar Belivdik, which is engaged in regular personal examinations, is that something recommended? Well, it depends who you are. Banosh and by women, great, Bishubachas. Then a hand is to be praised. Rashi explains. That ensures that she has no dam. It ensures her tahara status regarding her own activities, regarding being with her husband. So by women, something recommended. But by men, it should be avoided. Uba noshim. Bedika is by men. Tikot says that hand should be removed, so to speak. It's an expression highlighting the importance of avoiding bedika for concern of arousal, which can bring to wasting of seed, of zera levatala, which of course is asr. So regular examinations by women is great, by men should be avoided. Now the Mefarshim ask, here we praise women for doing regular bedikas, whereas in the previous dafim we learned that even by women, bedikas should not be done for concern, unless it's mandated, otherwise it should not be done for concern that it might trigger unwarranted anxiety on account of the husband who will back off, it's going to get in the way of their relationship. And here we recommend extra bedikas. Some refreshing answer. Yeah, they were speaking that it's done with respect to her being with her husband, and that could trigger that anxiety which would get in the way of their relationship. But here it's just random bedikas, unrelated to her being together with her husband, in which case it's something recommended. So bottom line, regular bedikas by women, great, by men, should be avoided. Asks the Gemara, what's the difference? Ma'ishna noshim, u'ma'ishna noshim. Why is it that by women it's commendable, and by men should be avoided? Answers the Gemara, because by women there's no downside, there's no risk that is present by a man. Noshim, women, delav, b'nois, argo, shaninu, should not prone to be affected by this sensation. It's not going to trigger any arousal, any wasting of seed. In which case, it carries no risk, and it is something commendable, mishubachis, as opposed to anoshim, men, who can be triggered, and it can cause an unwanted effect, b'nei argo, shaninu. They can be triggered and be aroused by doing this bedika, in which case it carries a downside. And for that reason, Tikkat says it should not be done. Okay, so the regular bedika is by women it's commendable, and by men is avoided. Now, why are we only speaking about frequent bedikas, which should not be done by men? Even an occasional bedika also carries the same risk and should be avoided. If that's the concern, why focus on the frequent bedikas? That should not be done by a man. Even if it's not frequent, if it's just an occasional bedika, that also should be avoided by a man for the same reason. You're right. Kiktani marba, when Rishon speaks about the many bedikas, that's going on the nashim. There it's recommended. But of course you're right. On the flip side, even a single bedika by a man should be avoided for concern of arousal and having a negative impact. Says the Braisa Tana. The Braisa explains the Mishnah. When is this concern present? When do we say a man should not do a bedikah? He's looking for zera that may have left his guf to determine whether he's a balkari. So Rashi explains zera is produced by an active male, in which case handling the area can trigger further arousal and emission of zera. Aval inyan zoif. But if he's checking for zoif, ziva, a different type of material which comes from an inactive aver. So in that state, there's no concern of arousal. So why not check? Afu mishubach kenoshim. So he's also praiseworthy, just like by the women, because he's checking and it has no, you know, downside, no risk involved. And the Braisa continues. Even if he's checking for Zera, at times, there's no concern either. Afilu linishach vasar. Im ba livdek mitzroy or becheres baidek. If he's going to do it in a safe way, using something rough and uncomfortable, like a pebble, a tzroy, or a becheres, a shard of pottery, that's okay. Because it carries no risk of arousal and emission of zara. But just a plain cloth should be avoided. Really, you have a matlas law, you can't use a cloth. Vatani, we have a rice, a boy, the cosmic matlas. You can use a matlas or anything. Well, it depends what type of matlas. Just like Abaye tells us further on, the matlas of, if it's a thick, rough cloth, that's okay. Rashi explains, koshahi, venim chamemes, because of its thickness, because of its stiffness, not going to arouse, not going to warm him. That's a problem, that's not a problem. Hachanami as well. The Brice allows using of a cloth, the matlis, a thick cloth matlis of. Okay. Ve'echa itmad Abaye. Where was Abaye relating to? Hadasnan on the following Mishnah. Ha'echa b'truma. We have a kohen engaged in eating truma. Suddenly he feels a sensation as though there's zera leaving his guf, which would turn him into balkeri and make him unfit for truma. So what does he do for the time being? V'hirgashi suddenly feels shenuz dazo yivarav. Rashi explains shenekar zera mikuvah. He feels that the zera has left his has been dislocated within his group, about to leave. Oyeches b'amosay b'leg grabbed hold of the amma, the male organ, to prevent the departure of the zera, and he quickly finishes his meal. B'leis ha'trum, he swallows the trum. And that we have a kasha. Is that allowed? Handling of the area. Is this allowed? Period. Oyeches, he's allowed to hold the area of Atani. We have a brisa. He's not meant to. Even when one is tending to his personal needs, handling of the area directly is disallowed for concern about of a mission of zerul batola. Kol oyeches ba'amosoy, a person holds his amma, his aver, mashtin, while he's tending to his water. Kiu baby mavel oylem, like he's bringing a mavel. Rashi explains that was their crime. They would waste their zera. So how is that allowed? Amar Abaye, to which Abaye responded, Matlas Ava. He does it in a safe way, using a thick cloth, which does not have that effect. Rava Amar, to begin with, there's no concern. In the case of the Kohen, who already felt the Zera on its way out. Because by handling the area, it's not going to exacerbate the situation. It's not going to increase the volume of the Zera, which is already en route. Rava Amar, filo tem Matlas Raka. Even if she chooses to use a soft cloth to handle the area to prevent the zera from leaving, there's no concern of adding. Kivan the akar, because once that batch of zera has left, has sort of dislocated, akar, it's left, meaning it's not going to increase in volume. Vabaye is concerned about increase in volume with more handling. Vabaye chayish, concerned, dum asla sufi. Vravaloi chayish, Rav is not concerned, dum asla sufi. Valoi, really? Why is Rava not concerned about exacerbating the situation? V'loi batani of a brisa. It could just add and add and add. Halamaza daim. What is this comparable to? L'nois n'esbabayin. The person who pokes an eye, puts his finger, the longer the finger is in there, the more it's going to tear. The more it's going to generate demise. She calls man she'esbabayin, as long as the hand is in there. Right? The longer the finger is left in the eye, I am a damas. The eye will produce tears, v'chayzeres u'madamas, and keep on doing the same. Here as well. Why is Rava not concerned about adding to the zera levatola by additional handling? But Rava says like this: it depends. Kol achmumi v'hoder achmumi v'shaiti l'shchiach. In this case, it's different. There was already a strong warming effect, meaning he felt a strong sensation of zera leaving, zera on its en route, on its way out. To have that happen again, b'shaite, the same time, l'shea, it's not common. And when the Rashi indicates that there is this concept of adding, Rashi explains that's when it wasn't a full batch of zera leaving the body at once. So Rashi here says that, let's say it was a mishmash, it was a handling of the aver, that's what aroused, and that can keep on happening. The more he handles the aver, So the volume of the zera can just keep on increasing. But when the zera is produced by way of a sort of internal hargasha, Rashi calls it yotzem hargasha of nekar kulik echad, one swoop of zera, one swoop of dislocated zera. In that case, it's a one-time experience, and not going to increase in volume. And there was no concern at that time about handling the aver. Okay, so back to the Mishnah. Regular bedikas by women is great. By men should be avoided for concern of arousal and her tzer zera batala. When is there no concern regarding ziva, which is not associated with an arousal experience? Even by regarding keri, i.e. zera, if it's done in a safe way, using some sort of rough material, tzroer, cheres, or matlas ava, it also carries no risk of zera levatel. Now let's go back to Rabbi statement. Gufa Rabbi Lezer Omer, even in the washroom, one has to be careful not to handle the area. Rabbi Lezer Omer kol echad ba'ama mashten, ki'ilu mevi mamal oilam. Amalar Rabbi Lezer. But he has to do it, because otherwise he'll have droplets all over him. And then he might give the impression that he's unhealthy in his functions, and people will deduce that he can't bear children, and his children are not really his. They're from another man, they're Mamzerim, whose wife was involved with. We have these droplets, Nitznol al Raglav. Unless he directs it further away from him, it's going to end up dropping on his feet, venira, and he will appear kikrus shavcha, like somebody with a krus shavcha condition who can't bear children. Venimtza moitzi laz al bonov sheimam zerim, and it's going to cast a bad name on his family, on his children, that they're mamzerim, weren't born by their father. So true, there is a risk, but there's a big risk this way too. Amar Lansi says, actually, in the balance of things, better this way than that. Amar Mutav Shi'eti Laz Al Bonav Shemam Zerim, better to have this effect, ruin the name of his kids, rather than being wicked before Hashem, even for a moment. Val Yasa Atzmei Shosha Sha'achas Pnei Amokim, better than being a Rosh, even for a moment, Pnei Amokim. So it should be avoided at all costs. Tani, we have a different price. Amalan Rulezu Chacham. Rulezu responded to Chacham differently, concerned about directing the water away. That doesn't necessitate direct handling of the Aver. I'll tell you what he should do. Efshar Yamid, Adamokim Gavoya Yashtan. A person should stand on a high place and have the water land further away. Yashtan Bafeti Chayach. So stand at the edge of a hill or something, or over soft soil to absorb the droppings, in which case it will not splatter on him. Do that. Balyasa atzmoi, rather than handling the area, which Chas V'Shalom can bring about unwanted results. Rosh Hashach, Mokim. So we have two responses. In the first reply, he spoke with absoluteness. Either way, it should be avoided at all costs. In the second reply, he gives them ideas, solutions, which almost sounds like, well, if the solution works, fine. Otherwise, I agree with you that he should personally direct it. So the question is, which reply came first? Hi, which of the two responses, Amar Liberation, did he tell them first? Ilay Mekamayisam Liberation, did he say the first one first? That it should be avoided at all cost, even if you have no other solution. And then he came back and he gave solutions, which sounds like, well, if you can't do that, then it's okay to handle directly. That won't really work out. Basar da'amalu yisur, after he gave them a definite, absolute prohibition in all circumstances, he would come back and offer solutions. Ha da'amalu takanta, which sounds like, well, if you can't conform to solution, it's mutter to handle directly. He already told them. It's asur at all costs. So that sequence doesn't really work. Ella, rather, apparently, the second reply came first. Ha, Amar Liberesh. Initially, he attempted to give them solutions. Concerned about droplets? Okay, what about soft soil, etc.? Farmer, to which they responded, let's say it doesn't work. What to do then? Ein loy makim gavoy. He doesn't have a high place. What about the reich or soft soil? My. What then? To which he responded, it's aser at all costs. Amala hen mutav shiyoti laz abanav. Vayase atzmai rasha shah achas me'amok. What's so terrible? What's such a big concern here? Says the Gemara, because handling of the area directly can bring to arousal and wasting of seed. One who engages in wasting seed is liable to death by Hashem, as we find way back in the time of Yehuda, the Shevet Yehuda, Hashem asher also by his sons were involved in this activity, and they were put to death by Hashem. Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Avi Amri, they explain, Kilu Shevech Dam is tantamount to murder. The seed contains the DNA of life, the life force of one's child, and by wasting the zera, is tantamount to murdering of life. Shenamar Amechamim, Bo'elim, Tachas Kleitz Ranon, Sheikhte Yelodiv Anecholim, Tachas Ifa Asloim. Rashi explains, speaking about those who are engaged in pleasure, warming themselves with the fire of the Elam of the wood, basically engaged in personal pleasures. Murderers of children, Altiku Sheikhte instead of Sheikhte, relating to direct murder, Ela Sheikhte, read it like Sheikhte, squeezing out emission of wasted seed. Ramasi Amar, Kilu Oved Avoid Kilchavim. Zerovatola is tantamount to idol worship. Here it relates to an eighth Ranon, Ksibhasam. We have a pasuk regarding Avoid Zara, which has a similar expression. Allah Horem Aram Taskleitz Ranon. What's the connection of Avoid Zara? Farshim explained based on the Gemara later, because this is the Yetzirah's way of grabbing the person, submitting him to pleasures and to this type of activity, and eventually he just pulls him into the worst of the worst of Avodah Zarah. Rav Yehuda, there was a story about Rav Yehuda, who was younger than Shmuel, but they were both standing on the rooftop of a very special, unique shul in Bavel. Rav Yehuda and Shmuel, Habokaimi, they were standing at Igra on the rooftop to be finished of this special Beis HaKnesses, which was called the Shaf V'Yosef, and it was B'Nahardah, in the place Nahardah. Why was it called Shafi Yasser? So Rashi in Megillah, Sechus Megillah explains that actually Yechaniah, when he went left to Eretz Yisrael and the Golas, they took along some stones and soil from Yerushalayim, which were used as the base for the shul that they built in Har Dor. Was sort of a transplant of Kedushas Yerushalayim to the Beis HaKnesses and Bavel, which is the Migdash Ma'at, right? Our shuls are the our versions of the Beis HaMikdash and Golas. So they're standing on top of this special shul. Amar le Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda turns to Shmuel, he says, I have to tend to my needs, what should I do here? Amar le Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Tzarech ani lahashtin. Amar le, he says, okay, no problem, Shinna, he called him the sharp one. Echayz ba maschav hahashtin lechutz. Handle the limb and direct the water away from the Beis HaKnesses, off the roof. Ask the Gemara, is one allowed to handle the area directly? We just said it's disallowed, right? It's to be avoided at all cost. How can you do that? By the time you have a briser, he's guilty of the marble transgressions. Amar Abaye, Asuke Boileshus. Here it's different. He treated like a Boileshus. Boileshus are the attacking troops coming to ransack the city. This now we have a Mishnah. Boileshus Shnichasli. We have this troop that enters the city. And the question is, what happens to my wine? Do we assume that they pour the wine for the Avodah Zarah? Does it become Yain Nesach? They have the frame of mind So you can engage in this type of activity while they're running from one town to... So it depends. Depends on the circumstance. B'shas Sholem, during peacetime, when they have all the time in the world, Chavias P'suches Asuris, yeah, so open barrels are Asur. Stumas Mutaris, if they're sealed, they're okay, because they were not tinkered with, but the open ones were concerned that the Gayim, the troops, took the wine and poured it for their dessert. However, during wartime, when they're in frenzy and they're in haste, B'shas Muhammad, they have no time to engage in idol worship. Eilu Eilu Mutaris, whether it's open or closed, it's okay. Why the Bishayin Lan playing the Nasa? They have no time for this. Alma, apparently, given the bees, since they're in a haphazard frame of mind, Lai Asi, they're not going to come Lansuche to do Nis Chanamir as well. When he's in a state of haste, when he's in a state of fear, given the bees is an element of fear. It's not going to come to hirhurim, to improper thoughts and arousals. So it was perfectly okay for him to do this on the top of the shul. Ask the Gemara, what element of fear do we have on the shul? What's the fear over here? So we have several explanations. One way, light, lelya. Look, it was dark at night, and you're standing on a rooftop. Rashi says, Monsieur Rishon Mayipa is afraid of falling. So there's an element of fright, which counteracts any possible, arousal. Yubai Yisim, another answer, Bisus of the Rabbi, the fear of his Rabbi, of Shmuel. So that preempts any improper sensations. Yubai Yisim, another answer, Bisus of the Shechina. What about the presence of Shechina on the shore, right? Yubai Yisim, another terrorist, Amos say the Murray Alei. Shmuel always felt Hashem, the Murray, his master, was always resting upon him. He wouldn't come to arouse him. The Kari Shmuel Alei, Shmuel, related to Rabbi Yehuda, on Rabbi Yehuda, Ainz Yehudisha. He's not a human being regarding this matter. He's not susceptible to these sensations, meaning he's a cut above the rest, and in this case, there's no concern about inadvertent arousal. By the same, another answer, must he have married? Which is a mitigating factor, which lessens the risk. The Amar of Nachman, Emoya Nasi Mutter, a married person is allowed to. Vivoya Sema, another answer, Kiha Irile. He directed him as follows. The Tani Abba Breder Binyamin Rachia, as we learned, Avo Maseba Beitz Melamata. Although the Eber itself should not be handled directly, but via the testicles beneath, that's okay. So indirect handling is okay. And that's what he did. But same, another answer. He directed him as follows. It depends where. Gvul Yesha, this is boundary. Ma'atara l'mata mutar. From the Atara, Rashi explains, that's the elevated ridge where the Bris Milah takes place. Safa Gvoya, Makefes Rish Agig, that elevated surface. So from that point, Ulamata, downward, away from the guf. Mutar, it's not susceptible to arousal, that's okay. Atara lamala, awesome, but further up to the body, that would be asr, it's most susceptible to arousal. So when he allowed it, he only allowed it in the permissible area. On this topic, Amarafa, Makasha, Atzmoy, Ladas. If one purposely stiffens himself, arouses himself, unnecessarily, and Makasha, Atzmoy, Ladas, Yebenidah. He's deserving of being benida, being excommunicated. Says the Gemara Valema Asur. Why is he using that term, nidu? Let him just say it's forbidden. The answer is, it's not just forbidden. It's terrible. It can bring the worst results. Why the Kamagari? Yetzahara nafshei. He's inviting the Yetzahara upon him. And once the Yetzahara gets his foot in the door, you never know where it can lead. Rabbi Abi Amar, Rabbi Amar has a different title. Nikra Avari, it's called a transgressor. There's a Gerson actually which says Meshumad. Meshumad, they took it away, the censors took it away. Okay, so either Yehi Benido or he's called a Meshumad. What's so terrible? Shekachum Nosa, Sheitzahara, that's the craft, that's this Eitzahara strategy. He wants his foot in the door. Hayoyim Amar Loi, I say Kach, today he convinces him, okay, just a little bit. Well, the next day leads him to worse, and when I say kach, until eventually it takes him to Avodah Zarah. The next day, Amrili tells me, you know what? We're friends. Now it's time. And he falls into it. Yikad Amri. Some had a different version. Amravi Ami. Maybe Atzim they hear a person generates hero in himself. He's not deserving of being in Hashem's abode in Elam Haba. Because here regarding this type of activity, it says Vayera ben Hashem, right? We had before by the sons of Yehuda, they rouse themselves, etc. So Vayera, Lashon of Ra, and elsewhere it says a person who has that title of Ra will not be found in Hashem's company in the world to come. Ra will not dwell with you. What does the pasuk mean? Yedeichem domim alei, your hands are filled up domim. What's it referring to? Elam menafim b'yad, those who do niv, like snows, they deviate with their hands, they waste their seeds. Tana dver bishmoel, we have in the Aseres Hadibros leisinaf, which is applied to this activity as well. Loitehei b'chaniyav, a person should not be engaged in any form of this type of deviation. Ben b'yad, whether arousing and wasting seed by way of the hands, or causing it with his feet. Tan Rabban, Hagerim, converts, Vamasachim Matinoikis, those they engage in appropriate activity with youngsters. Both groups, Ama'akal and Mashiach, they hold back, they delay the bringing of Mashiach. Why? Bishlam Megerim, I understand by Gerim, because they're Rochelboy. They're Rochelboy, caution Gerim, the Yisrokas Apachas. The challenge posed by Gerim to Yisrael is like this hapachas, like the nega, which sort of is an add-on to the person. Right, Taisus elsewhere explains that the one explanation here is that gerim, because of their sincerity and their excitement for Torah mitzvahs, they tend to have higher standards, more meticulous in adherence to Torah mitzvahs and halacha than some members of the community, which actually causes the veteran members of Yisrael to be cast in a negative light. So poses a challenge to Klal Yisrael. So that's understood. Ela Misach and Betonikas Mai. But what exactly is a second group of people? What are they involved in? What does that mean? Ilam Mishkav Zachar. Are they actually doing Mishkav Zachar? Illicit relationship with the male youngsters. So we speak about them holding back Mashiach. It's way worse than that. It's outright immorality. B'nei skilin in, they get skila from Betzin. It's way worse than just preventing Mashiach. Elo Dei Chayfar. Next option is they engage them through other limbs. Okay, so that's a wasting of seed. B'nei Nabal Nino. Deserving of the Mabul. Again, it's way worse than you're describing. Elo Dei Nasi B'Ketanis. Oh, apparently we're not speaking about outright transgressions. They marry young women. Love B'nei Elo Dei Nino. Or not yet of age to bear children. And that flies in the face of the purpose of marriage. The Marbiesi. Amen David Ba. Mashiach will only come when all the Nishamas have come to fruition. Ad Sheyichlu, Kol Nishama Sheba Guf. Rashi explains as a chamber in Shamayim called Guf. That's I'm explaining it's like that. It's shaped as a body because the neshamas are waiting in that area. The neshamas, which will be absorbed into a physical guf, so the neshamas also have like a spiritual form corresponding to the physical guf. Hashem waits until the neshamas have been sent off into to this world to do their mission. Only then will Mashiach come, when the world in its fullest will come to its full completion. Shenamar ki ruach mafana yatav. Yatav means the delay, and the ultimate redemption is because of the ruach. Neshamas and yasis, the neshamas and the ruach, which are waiting here until they're all gone and sent off on their respective missions. Only then will Mashiach come. So marrying in a situation where it's not going to generate offspring defeats the purpose of the marriage institution, mela. It's something to be avoided. So back to the Mishnah. Frequent bedikas by women are recommended, but not by men. In fact, the Mishnah uses a very severe expression. His hand should be amputated. The question is literally, was just a latusa, a curse, meaning he's deserving of such a grave punishment. Dinotanan, is it a din? Oi, latusa tanan. Or is it just sort of an expression, a curse? The Gemara explains, dinotanan. Does the Mishnah mean din, that the Bezdin has to do that? Because the Kader of Huna, as we find by Rav Huna, cuts Yada. It was his fellow, his violent fellow, a ruffian who would hit people. Rav Huna and his Bezdin removed his hand. Is the same done here? Oilatusa Tanan is just a curse, meaning Tanan is expressing himself in very severe ways, deserving of having of losing his hand. But it doesn't mean literally that we do it. Tashma, we have a raya where it seems like it's literal. The sanya, Rabbi Tarif for Noimer, Yad la amu, a hand which reaches to the amu, to the area, tikotitz, it should be amputated, tikotitz yodoy, his hand should be removed, al taburoy, while lying on his belly, which is the area of violation. Amr lois, the chamr said, I mean, you're doing it there, you're going to split his stomach, you're going to cause him great injury, he can die. Like crazy nifkas, his stomach will burst open. Amar lan, so he says, well, better that mutav tibaka crazy. Better that happen than him ending up in the wrong place in Shammai. Val yeru leber shachas, rather than ending up in Gehenna. End of quote. Now, doesn't that shed light on our question? It sounds like we're speaking literally. Yam b'shalom medina tanan. Certainly, if it means literally. Hainu d'amri, that explains their reply. You're causing him injury. And he's not deserving of that. Eli Amos Latus Tanan, it's just an expression. My creation of kas. Why did they speak about, you know, literally injuring him? It's not really happened. Ela my dino tanan. So what's the other option? That it's actually going to be done? So why is Rabbi Tarfon insisting on doing it on his stomach? Lois sagi, it's not sufficient to lava tapura, it's not done in that area. I mean, why does it have to be done there? Why is that here? Ella, rather, you have to re-understand the whole price. In which case, we'll see that it's just an expression. Hachikam, Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon meant like this. We have to rearrange the wording in the price. Tafan was just saying, a person inserts his hand beneath his, right in that area. It's just an expression. He's deserving of that. Amuler Tafan responded to him, okay, but Yashavli Koitz. Let's say he has to get there. There's a thorn. There's something there, a crease in that area. Loitlano, you mean he shouldn't remove it? Amulani says, Loit. No, find a different way. Get it taken care of differently without directly handling it. Holy crazy nifkas, but it's causing him injury. His stomach is splitting, meaning he's going through a trauma. Amar Lan, he says, better this way. Better tolerate a bit of pain than to submit to spiritual risk. Amar Lan, mutav tibaka crazy, better that he experiences that discomfort, lest he be drawn into the wrong neighborhood in Shammai. So we have no indication that it's a literal process. It's just an expression, and denotes the severity of the issue and the care that a person must take to preserve his tahara, his kedusha, at all costs. Okay, so in a conclusion, we have the idea of Marbe Livdoik, Benoshim is Mishubachas. Va'anoshim is to be avoided, unless it's done in a safe way, in a way that doesn't bring arousal, like by the yeziva, it's not a concern, or using some sort of instrument which does not trigger any unwanted effects. We spoke about the importance of avoiding the area even in a washroom setting, where it could be done under certain circumstances, again, in a way that preserves a person's spirituality. We spoke about avoiding unnecessary arousals and the pitfalls of being wasted zera latola. Says the Mishnah, Chireshes v'ashoite v'asuma. So back to the noshim who need to do bedikas. Need to do bedikas because they're involved in taharis, right? Truma, kachim, etc. What if she's a deaf mute? Shaita, she's deranged, asuma, blind. What do they do? Vision is for a daita, she's mentally unwell. Imishlan pikhois, masak me saisa. If they have healthy women who can help them, so these nurses will do the inspections for them. They could eat truma, they could eat truma. Based on that, bedik. Now we spoke about a chereshes. Why can't she make her own bedikas? Chereshes? Iyotivik nafshes, because she's deaf. Why can't she make her own bedikas? The sanya omer rebbe, chereshes harib shon sein. In fact, we had a chereshes in our neighborhood. She was a rav. Lo yidai she bedekas las. Not only would she do her own inspections, el shchaveri seo rei samaras la. Her friends would do their bedikas and bring her the cloth to confirm the color. She was an expert. Apparently, chereshes is very capable. Well, there are different levels. Hasam b'medaberes v'enoshimahas. That was a woman who couldn't speak. Although she was deaf, she can't hear because Rashi says she was born healthy. She learned how to communicate. That part of her brain was developed. And then she lost her hearing. That doesn't interfere with her abilities. Her mental abilities are still sharp and intact. Ha-ha! Now Mishnah was speaking from birth. She's totally deaf and mute from birth. So that's a situation where she's not neurologically developed. In which case, she can't be relied upon for doing bedikas. It's none. Cheresh. We have the term cheresh throughout the Mishnayos and the Gemara. Who's exempt from obligations. That type of person, totally deaf mute, in which case his cognitive abilities haven't been developed, and he's not responsible, doesn't have, you know, Torah obligations. How's someone? What about a blind woman? She also needs to be attended to by a nurse. Why? How to do a show her friend. It's just a matter of seeing. You're right. That's the leader from the Mishnah. Doesn't belong on our list. A woman who's mentally unwell. Well, that's repetition of the Shoita, which is the same thing. That's a different type. Shoita was born that way, but here she became mentally unstable because of some sort of illness. A different type of shayta. Tanrabah. What about a kohen shayta who would like to have truma? But you'll never know. Maybe he had an emission. Maybe he's tummy. How could he eat truma? Matbil noisai. So the way it's done is as follows. They put him to the mikvah. Now they know that he's tar. U'machim lo'asei truma l'erev. And that very evening, after sunset, they give him truma. But u'mashamren oisel shleisha. Have to ensure that he doesn't fall asleep, because if he does, Yashan, he's tummy, because he may have had a carry during the sleep. Lo Yashan Tar, if he was kept awake, then he's Tar. Rav Elazar said, I'll tell you what they do. They put him on this leather pouch, this leather cup in that area, to ensure that even when he's asleep, there was no emission. Amrulis, they told him, that carries a greater risk. It can warm and arouse him and make it worse. Omer Lenz, they told him, look, according to your position, Shaita enli takana, Shaita has no recourse. Omer Lenz, they said, no, what do you mean? Well, he's awake, he's safe. According to us, Yashin Tamil Yashin Torah. If he's asleep, yeah, you're right, it's a problem, but if he's awake, he's okay. According to you. So, yeah, we're limited, but you're worse off because this pouch can actually trigger a problem. You might experience a droplet the size of a mustard seed of zera, and it'll be absorbed into the kiss. You'll never know. So actually, it was taught from Rav Elazar a better solution. They make him this metal cup, non-absorbent material. So that addresses the absorption issue. Amar Abayev Shalachosh, specifically made of copper, which is non-absorbent. It's not really fine. The copper is considered non-absorbent. If it's not Rav and Mishnah, we don't. Roy Noisu give oilin. Roy Noisu give oilin shall ezef kilin shem achoshes. That's regarding the shiur, the minimum amount for the paraduma water to be fit for sprinkling. You need to have enough in there to accommodate the dipping of the grass and spraying. Now, the grass will absorb. Do we have to account for that absorbed water? Ravida says no. View the grass as though it's made of non-absorbent, nechashas, copper material. So you don't have to accommodate the absorption. It says, oh, it's non-absorbent. And if it would have been nechashas, and you would dip it in, it would be enough to sprinkle, then it's okay. So we see that nechesh is non-absorbent, and that's the material they use for the cup on this fellow. Amra papo shmamino, based on our discussion, the chacham are concerned about the this leather pouch, which can bring arousal, etc. We learn from here, michnasayim asur, one is not meant to, one is not allowed to wear extra tight-fitting undergarment, because it can trigger an undesired result. But the kohanim don't we find that they wear these mechnasayim? Asayla mechnasay bad, luchas es psar erva. So they have these pants. These says the Gemara. Actually, it's loose fitting. In which case, it avoids any concerns. Ahuka the sanya, that's fashioned as per the following price. Mechnasay kohanim mahim daim. How the Kohanim's knicker is styled. Kimin pamalanya shall parashim, like this cape worn by horse riders. Lamalad masnaim would rise up till the waist area. Matad yurchaim down till the knee area. Vishlam shnotzim. And they would have these laces, like, you know, like the sweatpants, like a lace on top, which would be tightened and tied to keep the pants on. Vein lehem lebeis hanekev lebeis ha'erva, but it wasn't made with separate compartments for the beis hanekev, for the back and for the front. It was sort of a loose fitting type of configuration, in which case it's okay. So the concern is only when it's, you know, compartmentalized and tight fitting, but otherwise it's okay. Amar Abay, roich vei gemalim, camel riders, asura nechel b'trumah, they cannot eat truma. Rashi explains on the top line, because the sitting on the camel creates a friction and warm, has a warming effect, and can arouse them to the point of emitting zera, which makes them unfit for truma. Evreim es chamemim, basra agamol, metiim zera. Tanam yachoy, find the same in the rice, reich v'gmalim, kulam rishoyim. These camel riders are considered wicked because of the undesired effect of this activity. Hasapanim. On the other side, you have the captains at sea, kulam tzadikim, because of their constant fear and trepidation, living in a state of perpetual fear and uncertainty, riding the high seas, kulam tzadikim. That brings them to teshuva, their heightened state of spirituality, makes them righteous by virtue of the circumstance. Hachamorim. What about donkey drivers? It depends. Mehen rishayim. And tzaddikim, some and some are good, some are bad. What does it depend on? We have two pshat. Some explain how the makav, depends if there's a ukav, there's like a firm saddle, a wooden seat on the, so there's no friction, there's no rubbing, there's no arousal, how the makav, how the makav, otherwise, there's an issue of zera levatola. Some explain how the matartin, depends how they're riding it. A leg on either side, that's an issue. How the matartin, but otherwise, if they're sort of shifted, both legs to one side, there's no issue. Shema Levi, light means he would be makalad, curse. He would very much frown upon aman the gunya parket, a person who sleeps lying flat on his back. Because again, that carries a concern of arousal, etc. Any, is that a concern? Just to lie on the back? Amar of Yosef. That's only a concern regarding reading Krishna. Because there's a lack of submission to Hashem. Krishna is a time of connecting to Hashem, submitting to His own compassing presence and authority. Well, lying on the back is not an appropriate position for that. But Rav Yosef Pragdan, Laker Kishma. apparently it's only an issue for reading Kriya Shema, but to fall asleep in that manner, would be okay. Kriya Shema de lo yikra. Ha mikna, but to fall asleep after Kriya Shema, that shabbidam, it seems to be okay. And here you're saying it carries a spiritual risk. Says the Gemara, there's a slight difference. Lina mikna, regarding sleeping, keep matzli. If he just leans over a bit, so he's basically on his back, but he tilts himself a bit to one side, shabbidam, that's okay. Because that mitigates the arousal concern. Lina Kriya Shema, but still not sufficient for Kriya Shema. Keep matzli, also, even by tilting a bit, shifting to the side, that wouldn't really do it. You have to actually either sit up completely, Rashi says, or sheichav al kuli atzidu, completely lie on the side. Says the Gemara, really? Rabbi Yechanan would do that matzli. He would shift slightly over to the side, because of Krishna, and read his Krishna like that. Rabbi Yechanan the Baal Basra, Rabbi Yechanan was different because he was heavy, it was hard for him, so that effort would be enough to show honor and respect to Hashem. And that's why it was okay to do Kriya Shema in that position. So bottom line is, one should take all precaution to avoid arousal and wasting of seed. Chas v'shalom. Regarding the proper position during sleep, so paraktam, directly on the back, is to be avoided. Regarding Kriya Shema, he needs to be fully on his side or sitting up. But otherwise, a slight shift to the side would avoid the arousal issue and would be acceptable. Okay, all the best to you and atzlacha rav.